Title: Creating Cord Washes from Break Tails Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing one of my favorite drum and bass sound design tricks, turning the tail of a breakbeat into a playable cord wash. And the reason this works so well in DNB and jungle is simple. The space between the hits is part of the groove. If you can grab that room tone, that cymbal air, that little smear after a snare, and turn it into harmony, you get this glue that feels like it was born inside your drums, not layered on top. It's the same world effect. By the end, you'll have two things: a playable instrument in simpler or sampler, and a resampled audio wash you can drop straight into an arrangement for instant atmosphere. Let's set the session up first. Set your tempo somewhere in the DNB zone, like 170 to 176. I'll pick 174. Now make a few tracks: an audio track called Break, another audio track called Tail Print, a MIDI track called Tail Wash, and put simpler on it. And if you want the cleanest workflow for printing reverb, make a return track called Wash Verb. One quick tip here: make sure warp is on for your break clip. Even if you're not doing crazy warping, having it stable makes your tail extraction and resampling way more repeatable. Cool. Now we go tail hunting. Drag in an Amen style break, or think funky drummer, or even a modern top loop. We're listening for a hit that leaves behind useful air. That can be a snare with room tone, a crash or ride with a smooth decay, or a busy fill that ends with a clean tail. What you're trying to avoid is anything where the tail is basically just a bunch of obvious little transients. Because if you loop that, it becomes a ticking pad, and that is not the vibe. Once you've found a good candidate, duplicate the break clip so you can be fearless with edits. Now zoom in around the hit. Here's the key move: don't start right on the transient. Start just after it. Often 20 to 80 milliseconds after the hit is the sweet spot, but use your ears. You want the transient energy to be gone, and the decay to be the main thing. Select a short region of tail. For a starting point, aim around 150 to 600 milliseconds. Too short can feel thin and papery. Too long and you'll accidentally bring the next transient into the sample, which makes looping a mess. Consolidate that region so it becomes its own clip. Then add tiny fades on the edges to prevent clicks. In Live 11 or 12 you can use clip fades, otherwise just use small manual fades. This matters. Even a tiny click becomes super obvious once you stretch and add reverb. Now, before we move on, here's a coach tip that saves time: choose tails by spectral usefulness, not just vibe. Throw an EQ8 on the tail clip for a moment, and sweep a narrow bell from about 300 Hz up to 6K Hz. A really usable wash tail usually has either a smooth cymbal noise shelf up top, or a room resonance in the mids that can turn into a note once you pitch it. If it's just spiky resonances everywhere, it tends to turn into a whistly, annoying pad later. Also, micro-editing trick: even if you cut late, there's often a tiny ridge of transient left. Go into the clip gain and pull down the first 10 to 30 milliseconds by like 3 to 12 dB, plus a short fade in. That one move can eliminate that rhythmic tick-tick artifact when you loop. Alright, optional, but powerful: printing a longer tail. If your break is dry, or the natural tail isn't giving you enough sustain, we can manufacture a lush tail that still belongs to the break. On return A, the wash verb, add hybrid reverb or reverb. Pick a hall or shimmerish vibe if you want it bright. Set decay somewhere like 4 to 10 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so the transient stays separate. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz to keep it smooth, and low cut around 200 to 500 Hz so you don't feed mud into the reverb. Now, on your break track, send just that snare moment or tail moment into the return. If you need to, automate the send so only the good bit hits the reverb. Create the tail print track and set its audio from to the return track. Arm it, hit record, and capture a nice long reverb tail. Now you've got this big cinematic tail, but it's still stamped with the fingerprint of your break. That's the magic. Next, turning the tail into an instrument. Drag your consolidated tail, or your printed tail, into simpler on the tail wash MIDI track. Set simpler to classic mode. Turn loop on. Now find the smoothest sustained part of a sample, usually not the very start. The start is often bumpy and unstable, because the decay is changing fast right after the hit. Set your loop brace in a stable texture zone. And here's another important tip: don't rely on zero crossings alone. Cymbal tails can still flutter even if the loop starts and ends clean. So audition tiny loop ranges until the sustain feels steady. If you hear pitch wobble or flutter, move the loop a little later into the sample, and increase the loop fade. Set loop fade somewhere like 50 to 200 milliseconds to prevent clicks. Now enable the filter in Simpler. Use a low pass 24 dB slope. Set cutoff anywhere from 1.5 kHz up to 6 kHz depending on how bright you want it. Keep resonance low. We're aiming for pad-like, not wah filter. At this point you should be able to hold a MIDI note and get a stable wash tone out of a piece of drum decay. That's already fun. Now we make it harmonic. Three practical methods. Method 1 is the clean musical approach. Just write MIDI chords. Make a simple DnB-friendly progression, like a minor I to VI to Roman 7 kind of vibe. For example, in F minor you could do F minor, then D flat, then E flat. Keep voicings tight and mostly mid to high. You're not writing piano music. This wash is a background bid. Method 2 is instant chords from single notes using the chord MIDI effect. Drop chord before Simpler. Set it to add a minor third and a perfect fifth. So, one shift at plus 3 semitones, another shift at plus 7. Optionally add plus 10 for a minor 7th. Now you can play single notes and get full minor chords. There's a nice teaching moment here. If your wash starts sounding too obviously chordy, reduce clarity. Lower Simpler's filter cutoff a bit, or rely more on early reflections and less on huge tails. The wash isn't the hook, it's the atmosphere. Method 3 is the most washy of all. Resample a chord hit, then stretch it. Play a chord for a bar, resample it to audio, then warp it. Set warp mode to texture. Grain size around 80 to 200, flux around 10 to 30, and stretch that one bar into 4, 8, even 16 bars. This gives you that smeared, ghostly pad bid you hear in deep and atmospheric DnB all the time. Now we shape it so it sits behind drums and bass without turning the mix into soup. On the tail wash track after Simpler, start with EQ8. High pass it somewhere between 200 and 500 Hz. If your tune has a heavy sub and Reese energy, don't be shy, go higher. Then listen for boxiness in the 300 to 800 Hz range. If it's fighting your snare body or your bass harmonics, dip a couple dB. And if the top gets scratchy, a gentle shelf down above 10 kHz can smooth it. Next, add saturator. Soft sine or analog clip are great. Drive it 1 to 6 dB. But compensate the output so you're not just getting louder and thinking it's better. Saturation helps the wash read in the mix at low volume, which is exactly where you want it. For movement, add chorus ensemble or chorus, but keep it subtle. The goal is life, not seasickness. Then add auto filter and map cutoff to a macro so you can perform it. Use the LFO slowly, somewhere between a quarter note and a 2-bar rate. That slow drift is what makes the bed feel alive across an arrangement. Now for space. Hybrid reverb, or echo into reverb if you want it wider and more rhythmic. Keep it controlled. Low cut in the reverb around 250 to 600 Hz. Decay maybe 2.5 to 6 seconds. You want a halo, not fog. Big pro tip. EQ before the reverb, not only after. If you feed a pre-filtered signal into the reverb itself stays clean. If you feed mud into reverb, you get muddy reverb, and then you spend forever trying to fix it later. Add utility at the end. You can widen to 120 to 170%, but be careful. Always check mono compatibility. In clubs, mono matters. Now the most important mixing move in this whole lesson. Sidechain. Put a compressor after the reverb on the wash track. Turn on sidechain and feed it from your kick and snare group. Ratio around 2:1 to 4:1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds so the transient still feels natural. Release 80 to 200 milliseconds, and set it to bounce with your groove. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. And if you want it extra glued to the drums, sidechain from the full break track instead of just kick and snare. Then the wash breathes with the exact rhythm of the break, which feels insanely cohesive. Now, a few intermediate upgrades you can try if you want more depth without obvious effects. Ghost chord layering. Make two different tail instruments. One from a snare room tail, filter darker and more mid-focused. One from a ride or cymbal tail, filtered brighter and more airy. Play the same MIDI, but detune the bright one by 5 to 12 cents, and add track delay of 5 to 15 milliseconds. Instant width and motion. No chorus required. Another harmonic trick. Parallel chord qualities for tension. Duplicate your MIDI to two wash tracks. On one, use a minor chord shape, root plus 3 plus 7. On the other, use a sus shape, root plus 5 plus 7. Then slowly crossfade between them over 8 or 16 bars. It evolves, but it still feels like a wash instead of here's my chord progression. If you want the wash huge but not smearing the center, do mid/side reverb with stock devices. Put an audio effect rack on the wash. Make a mid chain and a side chain. Use utility. mid-chain width to zero so it's mono, side chain set to side only, put heavier reverb on the side chain, lighter on the mid. Now you get a big stereo halo while the snare and bass stay clean in the center. And for darker, heavier DNB, try pitching the tail down 7 to 12 semitones, then high pass it hard. You keep the dark texture, but you don't steal low-end space. You can also add a tiny bit of redux after saturation, like 12 to 14 bits and a small downsample amount, then low pass again. That gives you that rusty industrial grain without wrecking the mix. If the loop is still clicky or peaky, here's a sneaky fix. Put a gate after simpler and set it gently so it shaves micro spikes. Fast attack, medium release, and a not too extreme floor. You're basically smoothing out little peaks that turn into rhythmic artifacts. Now, arrangement. Where does this live? In an intro, a filtered wash plus distant break chop sets the tone immediately. In a pre-drop, automate the filter opening and increase reverb send to build size. In the drop, keep it quiet but wide, with sidechain doing the movements so it doesn't blanket the drums. And try this classic transition. Resample 8 bars of your wash, reverse it, bandpass sweep it up, then kill the reverb right on the downbeat when the drums hit. It's like a built-in riser, but it still feels tied to your break. Also, don't run it constantly for 32 bars. Do call and response. 4 bars in, 4 bars out, or fade it down during fills. That space makes your drop hit harder. And one more, the pre-drop vacuum trick. In the last beat or two before the drop, automate the wash down in volume and narrow the width toward mono, like 0 to 30%. Then snap it back wide on the drop. It makes the drop feel larger without adding anything new. Let's quickly cover common mistakes so you can dodge them. If you left transient clicks in the sample, you'll hear ticking in the pad. Fix it by cutting later into the tail, micro fading, and using loop fade. If it's muddy, it's almost always 200 to 800 HC buildup. High pass harder and dip that zone. If it's huge and stereo but disappears or goes weird in mono, you overwidened. Keep lows cut, check mono, and be careful with utility width. This audio version is shortened for playback.